to better get a better understanding of the section of St. Luke's Gospel that's read for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, what I'd like to do is to go back a little bit in the 10th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, take it back to the beginning so we can put what we're reading today in a better context and understanding, and through that be able, I think, to reflect on all these things better. At the beginning of the 10th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, he's describing a meeting together, if you will, of the apostles and the 72 disciples at some particular point where our Lord had them all gathered together. These 72 were not the apostles themselves. The apostles were specially called by Christ to come follow him. They were to succeed him in ruling, be the first bishops of the church, and so forth. The 72 were ones who followed him faithfully, had other duties to perform, less in points maybe of responsibility than the apostles, but still important things that had to be done. And they were designated separately from other people. I guess we could call them ordinary lay people, if you will. Just the average person who would follow Jesus and listen to his talks, then go home. These 72 still followed Jesus, did the extra work that needed to be done. So there was always quite a little bit of a crowd around Jesus as he traveled everywhere. But in the beginning of the 10th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, while the apostles and these 72 are gathered together with Jesus, what we read is that Jesus is giving them a mission that they are going to go forth. They'll go forth to preach the gospel a little bit, but most especially to prepare the way for him to come. As they went to town by town, wherever he would send them, two by two, to go into various areas and to prepare the way for him coming, to talk to the people, to have them get ready for Jesus if they haven't heard from him before, which is kind of hard to believe, but still, there might be some there who did not hear of him, and so he would be there. He would be, these ones would be there to prepare for him coming, tell them a little bit about him, what they can expect, what it is that he's preaching, so they could come and be present when he comes around into their particular town to preach. To others, he would prepare for the sick, because Jesus would pray over them, cure those who were sick. To others who had also heard of Jesus and maybe heard his words, to encourage them to be there again as he spoke. So this was an important mission that these 72 had, to go forth to preach this gospel everywhere. Understand, they're just like the apostles. There's no special schooling they went to ahead of time. The schooling was the grace of God, their simple belief in faith and what it was, their acceptance of the gospel, their willingness to follow Jesus, and to go forth and perform these particular actions. As he also gave them this command to go forth two by two, he also gave them power over the devils, to be able to cast devils away from people, to prove that they were coming from God, preaching the things of God, to have the power over the devil himself. And this they did. We read of it many times in the gospel stories. About this time, a few lines into the 10th chapter, we get to eavesdrop again on one of the prayers of Jesus to his heavenly Father. Every now and then in the gospel stories, we have this ability to eavesdrop, just to be there, listen to the words he is praying to his heavenly Father, and be inspired by them. In this particular case, Jesus is praying to his Father in a spirit of gratitude. He's thanking his heavenly Father for giving these, the 72, the ones he has chosen specially to fulfill this mission and to cast out devils, to have given them a special grace, and also to keep these things that have been taught to them, these 72, away from the wise and the prudent people of the world. Okay, why be thankful for that? Why be thankful for the wise and prudent don't have this grace, or at least didn't accept it and work with it? It's because they would have abused it. The wise people, the thing that they look at the gospel story and only follow it if it makes sense to them. The prudent people. Oh, I'm not sure if this is there. Oh, that quick, that we'll do this, but we won't do that. Or maybe at some particular point in their wisdom, they're saying, oh, we're not going to follow what it is that Jesus has to say. It just doesn't make sense at this particular point what we can do on our own road. The wise and the prudent just would not, they would have the grace there to accept it because in their human wisdom and their false pride, they would reject those graces and reject the story of the gospel and not fulfill it in their lives. And so Jesus is thanking his heavenly Father. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast not given this grace to the wise and prudent, but has prepared it for these little ones, he calls them. Little ones, simple in faith. Doesn't mean they're simple people that can't do anything. Look at the great mission he's given them to do. Go forth, prepare the way for him to come. Prepare the hearts and souls of the people. Even cast out devils. We don't want to mistake simplicity here for stupidity. They didn't have that. They weren't stupid at all in any particular way. Although the wise and prudent people would think they were. They had a great work to accomplish, and they were accomplishing. And Jesus is thanking them for that because they are little ones, because they have that spirit of simplicity of faith. And follow Jesus in that spirit of simplicity. And not because it's reasonable, not because it's there, but because in a spirit of faith, they know this is correct. Okay, after he said that prayer to his heavenly Father, now he turns back to these 72 and also to his apostles who are there, to the entire group that's there around him. And he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. Many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and have desired to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them." That's an interesting statement. That's what starts out today's gospel, that particular work, having designated these 72 to go out and perform these great things and pray to his heavenly Father in thanksgiving. Now come these words to them for the spirit they should have in their hearts. Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. That God has so loved you that from all eternity, when he could have called you into existence, he called you into existence right now, here, today. To be present, to listen to these things right now, here, today. And that you have followed those graces that he has given you right now, here, today. To fulfill and accomplish all the things. That in times past, there were kings and prophets who wished they could be alive at the time of the Messiah, to see the works of the time of Messiah, to do the very things the Messiah is commanding them to do, to preach the gospel, to cast out devils, and so many other different things. Understand the great dignity given to you is what Jesus is saying to them. Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. And we can believe that they did take that particular understanding and dignity to heart, because we read in different parts of the Acts of the Apostles how many of them worked. But in the course of this, he's also trying to tell them to trust more in divine providence. That providence has placed you right here, right now, today, given circumstances in your life that you just happened to be here when Jesus was there, or just happened to be there when one of the apostles spoke about Jesus and it touched your heart and you came and saw him. Divine providence is not just a happenstance. There's a true direction that God takes, and we may not see it at the time, but later on we can see that from this event to this event to this event to this event, one by one by one by one, leads us to where we are today. And that's what he was trying to tell these. Understand the works of divine providence in your heart. In your lives right now. They've led you, this providence has led you to this point. But he also wanted to encourage them because there were going to be many trials that were going to come their way. Oh, they have many responsibilities to do, but with those responsibilities comes, if you're going to be in the service of God, trials and difficulties that are going to come. And for your ability to maintain that same spirit of following and listening to Jesus Christ in your heart and soul, no matter what the trials and difficulties may be. This is what we can see, and this is what I'd like to reflect upon a little bit more, this particular words. The parable of the Good Samaritan, we reflected upon that, and I think the message from it is quite clear. So it's not like I want to steer away from nothing to say, it's just we reflected on quite a bit. But it's these particular words in which today's gospel opens with. I think we need to take a little bit more of an understanding so that we can come ourselves in our lives to a better understanding of divine providence and how divine providence works in your life and mine. Over the years, people have either read this passage or other things have come up in their life, some things take place, and they'll come up to myself or to other people, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, other people, just friends to each other, and say, "Boy, wouldn't it have been better if I lived a long time ago?" Wouldn't have things been a whole lot easier? Oh, especially if I was alive in the time of Jesus. How much easier it would be to follow God, to love God, to serve God, because I would see him face to face and listen to his words. They would inspire my heart, and I would just be a living saint at that time. And the reply to that is, who are you fooling? God has you and I in this place, right here, right now, to live. If he wanted us born in times past, he would have brought us into existence in times past. God is God. He has a loving care for each one of us. He knows what he's doing. Your birth at this time, my birth during this time, is not a happenstance. It just didn't happen because finally my parents were there and there from their parents and so forth, all the way back in genealogy. It just finally, oops, worked. And whom? Here I am. Boom. I'm here today. If we're believers in the providence of God, we come to this point and say, I'm here because God has me here today. Right here, right now, this is the best time for me. The best time for me to learn to love and serve him. The best time for me to gain all the graces I need, but most especially, the best time for me to gain the merit that I need for heaven. If we lived in the time of Jesus, I guess it comes down to this. How would we know that we would have followed him? What guarantee can you and I give to ourselves back here that I was there among the crowd and listening to Jesus preach and I'd be so inspired by that I would be so filled with grace that I would faithfully serve him and never sin again? Again, I would say, who am I fooling? How about maybe I might have been among those people who listened to him in the beginning. You read the gospel stories of the evangelists and you'd see how great crowds followed him in the beginning. But as he began to preach to people about the value of the cross, the importance of suffering and self-denial, and then he threw in that really big one, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. And St. John records in his gospel, many left from him at that time, saying, this is a hard saying, and who will take it, and never more followed him. To the point that Jesus asked Peter, will you also leave me? Would we be among the number that stayed? Or the number that said, well, it sounded so good until he started saying those things. And I just don't know if that's a prudent thing to say, the wise, the prudent people of the world, to say, gosh, we thought he was the one to follow. But no, once he started saying that about cross and trial and suffering and eating him, possessing him, unless I do that, I will not have life. I'm not going to follow him, can't follow him, just won't do it. Let's be honest. Which of those two types of people would we be if we were living in the time of Jesus Christ? And even if we made it through those particular trials, how many of us could be sure that we would follow Jesus all the way up to Calvary? We would not run away like the apostles did. That we would deny him in any particular way. Who's to say we wouldn't do that? Oh, but if I lived in the time of Jesus Christ, I know, I just know it. I know I would do it. I wouldn't run away like the apostles. Do you really think so? You really think that's what you would do? Oh boy. Would we be able to accept the church that he founded, the Holy Ghost working in that church? Could we live under persecution? When I can't stand even a little prick upon my finger, I stub my toe, or if somebody speaks angrily to me and I can't handle that, do you think I would be able to handle persecution? Oh, but I lived in the time of Jesus, everything would be fine. Again, I fooled myself into thinking, if only I had lived then, how much better I would be than I am right now. And by doing that, I'm caught myself up in all kinds of excuses. Excuses for the sins that I commit. Not my fault. I'm so weak. I don't have anything here to inspire me. Nobody's around. God doesn't talk to me. I pray and nothing happens. But if I had been alive and saw Jesus and living him, I'd be a better person. Boy, what an excuse. An excuse in the way of life. You know, if we would take a moment here, which is what Jesus is asking us to do and the gospel presents to us today, take a moment to review what providence has arranged for us in this time. There's some here in the church today who were born when the church was better. We didn't have the crisis that we did today. Latin Mass is there. You can go to any parish for Mass. The church was respected publicly. The teachings were out there for all to believe. It was just a better time in which to live. And yet there are many of us who were born either in the quasi-time in between or later on after the crisis began. And it became a great time of faith to have to live under it. And so what we have to do is, we're all, though, regardless what time we were born in, we're all living and witness to a sort of an eclipse of the church. And I'll call it that. I'm not the first one to say these words, but what is meant by this idea of the eclipse of the church, you know what the eclipse is? It's the how the moon passes in front of the sun. And it can be a partial eclipse. You have plenty of light and just a little cut out because the moon's shadow has passed through there. Or you can have the full eclipse, to where the moon passes in front of the sun so much that it seems to hide the sun, but yet there's the corona, this light around the moon at that particular morning, the shadow of the moon, that you just know the sun's still there. The sun's still giving light. The sun hasn't disappeared. We're living in a time at that particular point of more maybe a full eclipse, if you will, of the church. The sun is not shining as brightly. The sun of the church's teachings are not believed and followed in the world today. More are contradictant all the time. People are finding every opportunity to doubt the church and the works of the church, to turn away from it, even to follow a modern church that has easier teachings because the things are easier. And so in that darkness, that majority of darkness that there, so many people are being led astray. Now all that's happening, we come to the question then and asks, why are you and I here? Why are you and I so good before God that we know before God these are the teachings we are to follow? These are the traditional teachings, apostolic teachings, that have come from the time of Jesus Christ through the apostles, through his church, all the way through time. We've rejected the modern errors because we know they are errors. Why? What good have you and I done to gain that grace to be born in this time, to be here right now? Instead of being born in the time of Jesus or in any other time in Bible history, the Old Testament, kind of like what St. Paul is saying in his epistle today, or in church history, where there were times of heresies and immorality and things of that nature, seemingly not as bad. We're living in a worse time in the universal apostasy that's taking place. We're living in this particular time, and God has you and I to be born right here, right now, in this period of history. Again, I ask the question, why? And the answer comes back, I don't know. It's not anything that you or I have done to win this favor from God. Rather, it's this loving God who wants us born in this time, right now, to be the recipients of his grace right now, to be as those saints, which St. Louis de Montfort says in one of his writings, those saints that will outshine, surpass all the saints in the past that we've ever had, in the past ages of the church. He even goes on to say, even the great St. Francis of Assisi. So to surpass them in glory and honor before God because of the greater trials they have had to go through. The trials of faith that we've had to go through. The trials of persecution that we have to go through. The trials of the world around us, sucking us in, encouraging us to leave from God, to become worldly in all of our thoughts and actions. These are terrible times, and yet God has chosen for you and for me to be born right now in these times right here. And instead of complaining to God and say, why did you have me born right now in the midst of all these trials? Why not turn to him and say, this is my best opportunity. You know, there's those positive speakers that want you to take, make, if you're given lemons in life, make lemonade out of it. Well, let's do it spiritually. Let's look at it in this particular way in life that says, God has given me an opportunity untold in the history of the church, history of mankind. A reward for faith and living by faith, when I live in this time of crisis, don't have everything else going on worldwide, like everything is just running like a well-oiled machine in the church and everything's fine. But having this time of crisis where things are actually difficult, and yet we're still going to live under them. And he gives me the grace to live by them. This is my opportunity to win the reward of faith, a great merit in heaven that will surpass that which all the other saints before could be done. God gives us the corresponding graces that you and I need in the lifetime in which we live. Oh, there have been many saints that have prayed to live in such a time where they have to live strong in faith. They wish to live under persecution. They wish to live in times when it was more difficult so they could prove their love for God. But they didn't. Prophets and kings desired to see the days that you saw, that you see, and did not see them. Great saints desired to see the days that you and I see and have not seen them. You and I are in this particular case. Instead of moaning and groaning about the what-ifs of life, oh gosh, I wish I lived at a different time. I wish I lived in a different city. I wish I didn't have so many people against me. I wish I didn't have so many sources of temptation. I wish life was simpler and easier. I wish there wasn't an economic time that was putting great trial upon me right now. I wish. And so I live in this wishful thing, this wishful idea. Instead of in this wishfulness there, how about learning to say, as people who live by providence, I will live where and when God wants me to do. I will endure all joys and trials sent to me by God in the same spirit. I will accept the joys from God. I will accept trials from him as coming from the same hand of the same God. I will be at peace with all things. I will be at peace with all things because all things come to me from God. I live by providence. I live by saying, God so rules my life that everything he allows for me, everything that may seem to happen that is done to me in joys and trials or whatever, everything that takes place is coming from the hand of the same almighty, all good, all knowing, all caring God. Not a different God, not a God of one period of history and then a God of another period of history. It's the same God. But he has called me to be one of the little ones. Not wise and prudent and saying, well, you know, gosh, I don't think I have to follow this penance stuff. You know, we understand better now about Christianity. Sufferings and trials, well, you know, that was just for people in the past. That's what made a negative part of Catholicism. And so I want to become a recovering Catholic here and not have to do with those type of sufferings and trials because that's just not the way it is. Look at all my Christian folk out there. They talk about peace and love and joy. They never talk about suffering and trials. Well, they don't present the gospel as it really is anyway. But one of the little ones understands that. The gospel is to be lived as it is said, no matter what age we live in. And if we're reminded in the Gospels, there will be trials and joys. If we have the spirit of Job, a very simple spirit of Job, the Lord can give good things, the Lord can give bad things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am one of those little ones, one of those simple ones, one of those ones who willingly led by the providence of God, who so love God and trust him that they know God has put me on this earth, in this place, right now, here today. And there is no other place better for me. than right now here today. What an exercise of faith. Simple, trusting faith. That's the faith that you and I are called to live today, because we are living in a world that wants to rob it away from us at all costs. Don't let the world do that. Trust in the providence of God. Trust in His love and care for you, that He has you right here, right now, under these circumstances, because these are the best times to gain the great graces that He has saved from all eternity for you and I to gain right now, here today. Saying that, believing that, that is simple, trusting faith. Let's pray that we can live by that faith every day of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.